Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. As you know, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but sometimes we don't exactly know what that means. Well, God wants to help us understand, and so He draws us pictures. One of the greatest pictures of redemption is found in the book of Ruth. We have been looking at this book over the last couple of Searchlight programs. So far, we have seen a family that made the mistake of leaving God's country and going to Moab, a pagan place. They left because of famine, but they shouldn't have left. God would have provided. In Moab, most of the family died, and Naomi decided to go back home to Bethlehem. As we pick up the story today, we see that her daughter-in-law, Ruth, decides to go with her. This is very significant to our picture of redemption. With the continuation of the story, here now is Pastor John.
Ruth, a very special woman, looked at Naomi, her mother-in-law, and said, "Even though you say that you're bitter and you are, and you've lost everything and you have, I still see that what you have is more than what we do here in Moab. I want that." And that's what a lot of us would say too, you know. It's not easy being a believer always, is it? But the worst that God gives is better than what the best the world offers. See, there's no question about that. So she sees it. Ruth declares, "Okay, I'm going to go with you." And Naomi says, "Very well." So verse 19, they two went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass when they came to Bethlehem, all the city was moved about. And they said, "Is this Naomi? Is this Pleasant?" That's what her name means. She obviously aged greatly. Not only because 10 years passed by, but because of what she had been through. No doubt there was signs on her face. There was lines in her face. There was an appearance of sadness about her. She had aged. "Is this Pleasant One?" And she said, "Don't call me Pleasant or Naomi," verse 20. "Call me Mara," which means bitter, "for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty." What a phrase. I went out full. What? She thought when she went out 10 years ago, "Oh, I'm empty. You know, we don't have any bread. So let's leave the place of praise. Let's leave the house of bread and do what? Let's go to Moab." She thought that she was empty then, but then 10 years later, she says, "You know what? I had everything back then. I didn't even know it. I didn't realize it. I had my husband. I had my two sons. I had so much and I didn't even see it because I was concentrating on what I didn't have, bread, rather than focusing on what I did have, family." See, what a story. This is huge. See, so often we're anxious about, we're concerned about what we don't have, not realizing what we do, that we really are full and blessed incredibly. And it's often not until we lose something, it's not there anymore, that we realize, man, what I had. I didn't even realize it at the time I had it until it's no longer there. The anxieties that you have today pale in comparison to the blessings that are around you right now, presently. We are so blessed. Naomi didn't realize that at the time when she left Bethlehem, Judah. And then she finds 10 years later, "Oh, I was so full then. I was upset about no bread. We were anxious about no food. But in reality, I had everything I needed. How foolish was I? I went out full, but the Lord has brought me," verse 21, "home again empty. So don't call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me, the Almighty hath afflicted me." No, Naomi, you're not right here. God hasn't, if God was afflicting you for your sin, you would be toast. You would be dead. You would have no story. There would be no book of Ruth. See, that's the way it feels sometimes. Oh, God must be judging me. No. How could he judge you severely enough? Do you think you've been judged? Hey, listen. If we got what we deserve, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight, not one of us. But see, what's happening here is when things are looking grimly, when things seem to be kind of blue and bummers or around me or around you, we think, oh, God's judging me. This is awful. No, not so. You wandered away, Naomi, and you're feeling some repercussions of your journey into Moab. But God isn't afflicting you. God has a grand plan for you. God is up to something big, Naomi, as you shall see. But Naomi at this time doesn't see it, just like you might not, just like I sometimes don't. Oh, wow, this is awful. This is terrible. This is brutal. No, it isn't. It's all part of a story. Wait till you see what happens. Trust me, the Lord would say. Hey, she wasn't being afflicted, because if she was being afflicted, she would be consumed. She would be dead. She would be frying in hell. See, that's the real deal. God is simply doing a work in her. She is simply feeling the repercussions of her own Moab wanderings. But God is for her. God is with her. So Naomi returned, verse 22, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. The guys are out in the field. Naomi, verse 1 of chapter 2, had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, related to Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. He is the guy that's grand and wealthy and classic. He is a picture, a type, an illustration of our Goel, our Redeemer, our kinsman, Jesus Christ. And this guy is there, and he is doing the harvesting thing in Bethlehem. Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, verse 2, "Well, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." She said, "Go, my daughter." See, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, right around verse 18, 19, and 20, there is a passage which says during the harvest season, the poor were to be tended by this simple means. And that is, the guys that were harvesting the grain were to leave the edges and the corners of the field untouched so that the poor could go to the corners or to the edges and they could actually glean the grain. I like that. It's a good form of welfare because it's actually keeping the dignity intact of those that need help. They get to actually work, and yet it's providing for them when they have no other means of support. So Naomi obviously informed Ruth of this law as they walked together down the road towards Bethlehem. And now Ruth, the younger gal, says to her mother-in-law, "Hey, let me go do even as the law allows me to go glean grain." Well, go for it. So she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, that which was left behind. Not only were the corners to be untouched, but when a reaper went through a field, whatever was left behind, that is, whatever they didn't scoop up, could not be picked up by a second sweep of that field. In other words, you had one sweep through a field, you couldn't go a second time across that field to pick up what you left behind. You had to allow that also to be left for the impoverished, for the widow, for the poor person, that there also they could go and glean grain. So not just from the corners and the edges of the field, but also in the heart of the field too, after the reapers went through a field, that which was left behind would be free for the taking for those that were in need, you see. So she does that. She went in the field after the reapers, and it just so happened, I like this, her hap was to come on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. Just so happened. Ah, as we said, nothing just happens. Man, God is at work. There's a wonderful grand plan coming into play, a divine design unfolding this day. Just so happens that Ruth, the Moabitish widow, the Moabitish woman, Ruth is in the field of Boaz. Ruth, as we shall see, is a picture of you and me. Huh? We're the bride of Christ, but we were lost, impoverished, hungry. And it just so happened, we found ourselves in his field one day. Somebody invited you to church or talked to you about a Bible study or whatever it was that took place in your story. It didn't just so happen. It was all part of a grand plan. God sent people your way and allowed you to come into contact with our Boaz, our wealthy kinsman, our Goel, Jesus Christ. One of the things I'm looking about heaven or looking forward to heaven for is simply hearing everybody's story. How is it? How did it just so happen to you? You know, what happened? How did you end up being married to Jesus Christ? You were impoverished. You were a cursed Moabite. You were in the toilet bowl of sin and carnality swirling around perpetually. How did it happen that you just so happened to find yourself in his field? It's a great, great analogy. Just so happened that she found herself there in his field. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Boaz does come from Bethlehem. Where was Jesus Christ born? Of course. And said, "The Lord be with you." How would you like your boss to greet you that way in the morning? "The Lord be with you." Boaz said to the reapers, his workers, "The Lord be with you." And they said, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz to his servant who was set over the reapers, "Hey, who is this damsel over here?" As he looked at Ruth, as she caught his eye. And the servant that was set over the reapers, the unnamed servant, a picture of, as we shall see, a type of, an illustration of the Holy Spirit. So here's Boaz, you see, in the field, and here's the servant in charge of the reaping and the reapers, and the servant is the one that identifies, if you would, the one that would ultimately be married to Boaz, just like the Holy Spirit drew you and the Holy Spirit drew me into a knowledge of and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, the servant that was set over the reapers said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning till now. And she stopped a little bit in the house. Boaz said, verse 8, to Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my," not servants, but who? Maids. Boaz gets in the act. This gal, he's curious about. He sees her in the field. Who is she? The servant said, "I'll tell you who she is." Boaz makes his way that day and says, "I tell you what, I don't want you to go into any other field. You just stay right here. You stay right in this field. Don't wander off. Stay right here and stay close to my maidens." Not my servants. Maidens, females. "I don't want you around the guys. Stay right here with the gals that are working the field. Don't go over there with those guys. Stay right here with the ladies," you see. "And let thy eyes," verse 9, "be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee?" I told the guys, stay away from her, and I'm telling you, stay away from the guys. Just stay here by the gals, you see. "And when you are athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." The water's already there in the pitchers on the table, already drawn for you. You don't have to go to the well. It's already there in the pictures. Just drink whenever you wish to. She fell, verse 10, on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger or a pagan?" How can this be? That's our prayer. That's the way I feel, don't you? Man, how could it be that I have found grace in your eyes, Lord, that you would take knowledge of me, a pagan, a stranger? A Moabite. Moabites, you see, as we shall see, were cursed for 10 generations. A Moabite could not come into the congregation of God, into the house of the Lord for 10 generations. 10 generations. If a guy moved to Moab, he couldn't go to the temple, nor could his son, nor his grandson, nor his great-grandson, nor his great-great-grandson, nor his great-great-great-grandson, nor his great-great-great-great-grandson, nor his great-great-great-great-great-grandson. 10 generations had to pass before a guy could then go into the tabernacle or the temple, into the congregation. They were cursed, you see. That's why she's blown away. How could this be that I, a stranger, a Moabite, how could it be that I have found grace in your sight? She falls to the ground. She's totally amazed that he would take note of her. And Boaz said, verse 11, it hath been showed me all that you have done to your mother-in-law. Oh, these are huge concepts we're going to get into at a later study. I know what you've done with your mother-in-law, to your mother-in-law, the kindness you've shown to her, the way that you've walked with her since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father, your mother, the land of your birth, and have come to a people before which thou knewest not. You've come here to a people, to a land that previously you knew nothing about. That's true for you. Remember when you first started coming to church? Who are these people? What's going on here? Why do they do this? But somehow you were drawn. I was too. Even though we thought, this isn't the kind of thing I'm used to. This isn't the place that I came from. But somehow you said, but I'm going to go. This is going to be my place. These are going to be my people. He is going to be my God. And that's what Boaz says. It's been shown me. It's been told of me how you left your people, your birthplace, and made your way to this place. And the Lord, verse 12, recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to trust. Because you've placed yourself under his wings, you are going to be blessed. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. Oh, she's just so blessed and so amazed. Boaz said to her, at mealtime, come here, verse 14, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar or wine. What does she offer him to do? What does he offer her to do? He says, come and dine, eat of bread and what? Wine. Does that ring a bell? Are you seeing something beginning to be unfolded here? Boaz, the picture of Jesus Christ, the Goel, the hero of our story, as we shall see, takes notice of her. The servant knew everything about her. And now she's amazed that he would be so good and allow such privilege to her, that she should find such grace, unmerited, undeserved favor, because she's a Moabite. She's a cursed person. How could this be? And now he invites her to come and eat the bread and the wine, the elements of communion. And she sat beside the reapers. Not only come and eat bread and wine, but sit beside my workers. Come and sit beside. We're reapers here tonight. We're reaping, see? And the Lord has invited perhaps you who are newer, you who perhaps have not yet even understood what God wants to do in you. You haven't opened the door of your heart, but yet here you are. You're sitting with reapers. See, it's amazing. It's what God does for us. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was satisfied and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. Let her glean amongst the good stuff, not the leftovers. You let her glean wherever she wants to glean. He had a glean in his eye when he said that, you know. Oh, man, you let her go wherever she wants to go. In fact, verse 16, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her. In fact, I want you to pick some stuff and drop it on purpose right before her. Let her go wherever she wants. In fact, take stuff and drop it right there. Drop it right in front of her. And she'll just walk right into it. Now, the other reapers could say, wait a second. What's going on here? And other folks could say, that's not fair. Let me tell you something. Grace isn't fair. Grace isn't fair. It's not about what you deserve. It's not about, well, how come I didn't get that when she got that? How come they got more than me? Grace is not about fair. It has nothing to do with being fair. Grace is unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. It's just God saying, I'm just going to drop hands. I'm going to pour out bucketfuls. I'm going to dump trucks. I'm just going to make stuff available for you. And be careful that you don't write a book saying, here's how I came into such blessing. My great faith, or my righteous life, or my secret understanding of divine principles, or my great studying. Don't do that. It's grace. And here Boaz, the king, Jesus, the kinsman, the wealthy guy, he says, just pour out stuff. So she'll walk right into it. She'll wonder how it got there. But hey, you'll know. I'm telling you, just let her have it. See? So she gleaned, verse 17, in the field until evening time and beat out that she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley, a big load of barley. She took it up, verse 18, went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Her mother-in-law, her eyes, Naomi's eyes are as big as saucers when she sees what Ruth brought home. How could this be? And she says, verse 19, Naomi, the mother-in-law, says, "Where hast thou gleaned today? Where have you been? How'd you get this haul? What's going on here?" You see? Man alive. You know, where have you been farming, honey? Where have you been gleaning today? How did this happen? See? By the way, it's interesting because where hast thou gleaned today? In other generations, a couple of generations ago and beyond, that's the way that Christians would greet each other. I like that. Where have you gleaned today? What have you learned? What have you seen? What has God showed you? See, great way to greet people. Tell me, where have you gleaned today? What have you learned today? And sometimes, you know, people ask that, you know, what is God showing you? When you see him, you think, boy, I better have something to share. I better do some gleaning because I know he, she, they're going to ask me, where have you been gleaning? See, where did you glean today? Blessed be he, Naomi says, verse 19, that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought, where I was at, the guy's name is Boaz. Ho, 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 verse 20. Blessed be the Lord who hath not left off. What was she saying earlier? God has dealt brutally with me. Now, ho, ho, wow. I can't believe this, she says. Blessed be the who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. This man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. He is related to us. Naomi, see, had lost track of Boaz, forgot all about Boaz, didn't even know if Boaz was dead or alive. It's been 10 years, you see. And now Ruth comes back and says, well, I was in this guy's field named Boaz. Oh, wow. God is so good. Ah, man, this guy's a kinsman of us. And Ruth the Moabite, is verse 21, said, well, he also said to me to keep fast by my young men until they have ended all the harvest. Listen, what did he say? Keep close to my what? Women. What did she say? He said to stick by the young guys. See, the church can do that sometimes. You know that? The bride of Christ. Well, you know, I was just ministering to her, some guy will tell me. God just led me to tell her, to help her. Or God just led me, some sister will say to him. Well, watch what Naomi said. Naomi said, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his what? Mates. Stay with the ladies, that they meet thee not in any other field. In other words, hey, you know, she, Naomi here, the mother-in-law, the wise, experienced woman who knows more about God's principles than Ruth does, says, hey, honey, that's great. You stay by his maidens. You stay by the, don't. Careful here. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz, verse 23, to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. She listened to mom, and she stayed by the maidens, and she takes in this huge harvest.
And that is what happens when we stay close to the Lord. We take in a huge harvest. Our story is not over, but you can already see this picture of redemption unfolding. Boaz is showing us the grace and kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please join us next time as we continue to see this picture develop. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
The Searchlight Radio program is available as a podcast. This means that you can download the program to your mobile phone, computer, tablet, or other mobile device and listen to it at your convenience. For complete information, please check out the podcast page on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is an independent ministry that is not financially supported by any church or organization. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.